podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az, and I'm here to talk about my first draft team. Obviously, I put together a team as soon as the game first came out. I've tinkered with it a little bit. I think it's now at the stage where I'm sort of ready to show it a little bit. I know some people are deliberately leaving it for a few more weeks, waiting to see what pre-season brings, waiting to see what, you know, players move to different sides and all that kind of thing. I am too addicted to this game, obviously, so I've made a nice early draft. I imagine it's going to change. You know, a couple of players will probably change, but at the same time, I think the core, there's going to be some core players that stay right through till the end of pre-season. So looking forward to FPL being back, and let's kind of get into it. Before we do that, just a shout out to Fantasy Football Scout. If you're playing FPL this season, you're going to need some tools to help you sort of climb up the ranks. Fantasy Scout I've used for years and years and years. Great tools, comparison tools, stats tables, everything you need to win your mini leagues and everything else. So check out fantasysuperscout.co.uk, sign up as a member, and let us know what you think. We've got some great stuff in there, and be really interested to get your feedback on everything. Right, let's get straight into it. Let's get straight into my first draft team. What we've got here is the goalkeeper to start with. So kind of break it down sort of position by position. First player I want to talk about is the goalkeeper. At the moment, I'm going with Raya. I'm going to be presenting some stats on some of the other kind of considerations for goalkeeper at the moment. But Raya, out of all goalkeepers, had the best minutes per points when he played. Obviously, missed a big chunk of the season last year. Brentford, good defensive side, stayed up. Had a bit of a wobble mid-season, but the sign of Eriksen really kind of sorted them out. And obviously, Raya coming back too. Haven't seen too many signings from them at the moment. Obviously, they've lost Eriksen, who's that big kind of creative force. If they do that, they might be sort of prioritising, you know, defence first rather than attack. But Frank doesn't know how to attack and get points that way as well. So I'd be really interested to see how Brentford set up. Brentford have got absolutely brilliant start to the season, which is the kind of the main reason why I'm looking at Raya. I think, you know, given that he makes saves and gets points when he plays, and in fact Brentford played Leicester, United, Fulham, Everton and Palace in the first five, you can go kind of right up to, you know, game week 8, game week 9, when, you know, a lot of people play wild cards. I played my wild card in game week 6 last season, for example. So you really want to kind of target those first sort of 1 to 6 fixtures and try and get in, you know, the goalkeeper that you think has got a good chance. There's some other goalkeepers that I'm going to talk about. I think Mendy's obviously been highly priced, 5 million. Ramsdale, 5 million. You know, Arsenal got a great, great start to the season. But then you've got Tommy Ashley there at 4.5 and Ben White as well. Brighton don't have a bad start. You've got Leeds, Fulham in game weeks 4 and 5. United, Newcastle and West Ham in the first three. So again, not bad for someone like Sanchez. You've got someone like Melier at 4.5 who makes loads of saves. There's lots of options in that goalkeeper position. It'd be interesting to see what the kind of template gravitates to. It's normally one of these 4.5 goalkeepers. I think Raya is going to be very popular. So that's why he's in my side. Moving to defence. I'm currently at the 4 at the back. I am toying with the idea of 5 at the back as well. I think that's where the value really lies in defence this season. The trouble with 5 at the back is it means you're having to go very, very kind of budget on your subs. If you go 4 at the back, for example, there's 4.0 defender. We think Nico Williams is gonna move to Forest. That gives us that kind of option. And then at 4.5, you've got loads of players who are going to massively outscore that price tag. You know, Tomiyasu, who I mentioned, someone like Pereira at Leicester. There's plenty of options that can give you that really solid first sub option. If you go 5 at the back and you're going to go with 2 strikers, maybe 4.5 strikers, you're not going to get any points from those. If you're going with 4.5 midfielders, there's a real dearth of those at the moment as well. Even at the 5 million bracket, you're still not going to get great. So you might even have to go up to 5.5 midfielder just to get one decent bench option. So it's a bit of a trade-off. I think the defenders, you know, we're looking at Trent, Robertson, Chilwell, James, Cancelo, someone like Perisic, you know, Jed Spence if he moves to Spurs. And then you've got the likes of Cash, Dean, all these guys. There's Trippier. There's so many options in defence. So trying to work out which are the best ones, you know, can be really strong. I mean, here I've got Trent, Cancelo and James. They are absolutely locked in my side unless we see any kind of injuries across pre-season, obviously. Maybe, you know, we see pre-season with James dropping back in the centre-back and might decide to switch to Chilwell, but at the moment, James is an absolute lock. Aitnori is there. I've got a kind of rotation with him and Tomiyasu. I like Aitnori, particularly for the first two fixtures, Leeds and Fulham. Then you can bring Tomiyasu in. He's got Bournemouth, and then you've got Fulham as well for Tomiyasu as well. And then when Wolves have Bournemouth in game week 5 and Arsenal have Villa. So they rotate quite nicely. It gets you a really strong opening 5 games from those two. And I talk a bit more about the stats kind of in a second. The alternative to that would be you could go for Neco Williams. If he does move Aitnori up to a 5 million, like a Cash, a Dean, a Trippier, like I said. But obviously that gives you a little bit less kind of flexibility to move between those two players. But at the same time, you know, you might not care. You might just want to play these players who've got good attacking potential, playing for good sides with good fixture runs. As well, so that kind of gives you the option. I think if Williams moves, we might see a bit of more of a change from people who are definitely set on 5 at the back, moving back to 4 and going with Williams. So yeah, we're kind of all hoping for him to move to kind of make the game a little bit more interesting. Next, we've got my midfield. So one particularly interesting pick in midfield, I think. I've gone for Salah, obviously. No chance I'm starting the season with him. I know a few people are tempted to spread the funds around, but you know, Fulham in that first game, it's too good to ignore. I've actually gone for Raheem Sterling. He's in there. He'll cost you 10 million. He's currently Man City, where he's not guaranteed game time. The rumours are at the moment, though, that he is off to Chelsea. And if he goes off to Chelsea for 10 million, I would be very, very hard picked not to start with him. Chelsea have a good run. Everton, Spurs, Leeds, Leicester, Southampton. It's a great first five. I think Sterling proves time and time again when people are doubting him, doubting his ability, doubting his finishing, all these things, it just makes him come back stronger. Look what he did for England, you know, for us at the last tournament. Mate, you know, no one even wanted him to start and he came in and was kind of play the tournament for that. He's, you know, consistently scoring goals for City, even when he's in and out of the team. His underlying stats, we're going to talk about in a bit, are absolutely phenomenal as well. So I think with the template that's going to be so strong, with people going for Salah and Haaland, there may be a few people going for Kane. It's tricky to fit in the likes of Son and De Bruyne and not completely rip your team apart. But going for one of these like 9, 10 million options who could, you know, absolutely smash it in the first few weeks could be something a bit different and something to propel you up the ranks. The problem with that, obviously, is you've got to kind of make a few sacrifices elsewhere, which is why my midfield looks a little bit light. I've gone for Bruno Guimaraes, my favourite player from last season. Well, my second favourite player, actually. Reece James was the one who made it onto the wall. I don't think you can quite see. My camera's just cutting it out. But Bruno Guimaraes was a great player for me. I really like that Nottingham Forest at home match for them in game week 1. They then played Brighton as well. They typically do quite well against us. I think they managed to get a point against us last year under Bruce, and we were doing really well. Then it gets a little bit trickier. They've got City, they've got Wolves, they've got Liverpool, so obviously the two best sides sandwiched between Wolves away. But those first two games, I think, look quite good, and by that time we might have another kind of 6 million option emerging that we can kind of move to or be a bit flexible. I think that spot's a little bit kind of up in the air. The 6 million options don't massively excite me. I think a lot of people are going to be tempted by someone like Martinelli, for example, or going for Guimaraes for Nottingham Forest and Brighton first. You could then switch to Martinelli in game week 3, then you've got Bournemouth, Fulham in the next two games. So if there is a kind of Arsenal mid who really does emerge as the strongest option, maybe Martinelli has started those last two, scored a couple of goals, the move to him is fairly easy. That's what we're kind of hoping for. I also think there's enough 5.5 options as well. That's a Vissa, Elise. There's plenty of players around that kind of 6 million mark to kind of be a bit flexible with that. Neto is the next one. We're going to talk a bit more about Neto in a second. I think he's obviously really, really popular in the kind of Twitter and Fantasy Football Scout circles at the moment. 5.5 million. He's got Leeds and Fulham in his first two games. Good underlying stats last season. Is that kind of perfect player where a lot of people will be put off because of the points total he got without considering the circumstances of his kind of injury. So if you're watching lots of other streams and reading articles and stuff, you're going to see lots of people badgering on about Neto. He's essentially playing furthest forward up front for Wolves, classified as a midfielder, dropped down to 5.5. And with good fixtures. So it's completely reasonable that people are talking about him. Now, the one problem with this midfield, and the problem, you know, that might sway me to kind of make a couple of changes, maybe, you know, take Sterling out towards the end. I'm not completely set on him, but I do like the look of him at 10 million. I really like this 8 million midfielder spot. Now, obviously, I can move Sterling down to that 8 million mid. But, you know, obviously if I do that, I'll have money to play with and move around, and I'm probably going to end up taking hits and that kind of thing. The 8 million midfielder slot, there's lots of good players in that. There's Saka, for example, the best option at Arsenal. You've got Maddison, best option at Leicester. I mean, really tough fixtures for them. They've got Arsenal, Chelsea, United in the first five. But they do have Southampton at home in game week three. I think it's from about game week six or seven, the fixtures get really, really nice for Leicester as well. So it's definitely someone like Maddison would be someone kind of on my radar. Kulusevski as well. He's at 8 million as well. You've got Bowen at 8.5, just a little bit more. You know, plenty of options with Mount, Foden, Mahrez, all these guys. So I think you definitely want to have at least one player in there who's 8 million or more in that spot. And that's where I think going five at the back can kind of reduce that flexibility. I haven't even mentioned Diaz, for example, who could be one of the bargains of the season at 8 million if he can kick off. So I will definitely be starting with an 8 million midfielder or higher. At the moment, it's Sterling. I could move down to one of those just to make sure I've got that kind of flexibility in midfield. And team structure is really important. When you are putting together your draft, you don't want to lock yourself out of being able to move quickly for these players. I mean, forwards, we know are going to be tricky. We have got some options this year. I think we're going to talk about some of those in a sec. Particularly in midfield, you want to make sure that you're able to move on players when they start, you know, performing well right at the start. My forwards end, so classic 4-4-2, gone full Sean Dyche on this. He wishes he had Haaland up front, so Haaland's in there. I imagine I'll be starting the season with him. If there's little pre-season for him, if he's getting his minutes managed, if there's issues around kind of his sort of role in the side, and Pep says, oh, he might not be ready to start, all that kind of thing. These are all things that can change, you know, pretty dramatically over pre-season. But assuming he's fit and ready to go and in the side, he'll be in my side for West Ham away. I don't mind this idea of starting with Kane and, you know, for that Southampton game. But realistically, I don't think you're going to captain Kane against Southampton when Salah's got Fulham. So am I sure that Spurs are going to go absolutely crazy against Southampton in game week one, and then I'm going to have to use a transfer to move him over to Haaland? I think that's a risky one. And I think people might regret having that transfer already booked in. I think the safer play is to just start with Haaland in game week one. I mean, his ownership is massively higher compared to Kane, so it's a good differential option. But I do think if you're going to start with Kane or Son over Haaland, you should probably just consider captaining them as well, just to try and make the most out of that 1 week move. If you're not going to captain them, then I don't think it's worth it, just because those transfers are so vital. I've gone off on Tony as well. I think he's a good price at 7 million. Obviously, he's got the penalties as well. I think he had a struggle for the first half of the season. Obviously, Everton came in and kind of boosted his appeal. He's a player who won't be affected by this five-sub rule at all. He's going to be playing sort of every minute, and I like that. With the fixtures Brentford have got, I think he's a good, solid option as well. The other good thing I like about having that second striker is it means one less 4.5 up there as well. I think Dennis Undav is someone that I'm going to be talking about a lot over pre-season, someone I really like the look of at 5.5, but I'm just not sure he's going to be completely ready for that game week one. Again, this could change if we see great signs in pre-season. You know, if Mope leaves maybe, or one of the other strikers, or there's an injury or something like that and he comes in, I think at 5.5 we're going to see a lot of investment in him. But I'm willing to pay that little bit more for Tony, given that Brentford have got that good run. The worrying thing with Tony is obviously Eriksen has gone, like we mentioned, and who kind of takes over that kind of creative mantle. They need to sign a creative player, simple as that. If they don't, I think I'd be a bit more worried about Tony. But assuming they get someone in who can play in that role, then I think he's a good option to start the season. Probably my pick of all the kind of 7.5 strikers, although Callum Wilson, I think is a good option, particularly for that game week one game. So this team gives me a bench of the Brentford backup goalkeeper. It gives me a Tomiyasu, so another 4.5 defender, like I mentioned, to rotate with Aitnori. A 4.5 midfielder. I mean, there's not really much choice. I've gone for Sarmiento at Brighton. He's a very talented player, very attacking. I think we're going to see him get more minutes next season. Be interesting to see where his kind of position is and where Potter plays him, but very highly rated, very highly regarded. And you don't want to be using a 4.5 slot from like a team like Liverpool or, you know, Chelsea, or even though it's tempting because you're blocking that spot. So Brighton seem a perfect side, because realistically, even me as a big Brighton fan isn't going to end up with three Brighton players in my side, I wouldn't imagine. Then it's Greenwood up front. He's probably the best of the 4.5 strikers. Same reason Sarmiento, not going to play that much, but at the same time, you're not going to probably have many Leeds players, and they're struggling a bit kind of up front with the work they've seen last season, so he should play a little bit as well. So that's the side that I'm going to be talking a bit more in detail about now. We'll see, interesting doing these videos, see how much it changes over pre-season. I'll come back to that and kind of see where I ended up. Let's talk about some stats. So I've grabbed these stats from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. I've highlighted in green the players that I've selected in my side. And then I've just put in a couple of other options that I'm considering as well. So I think I'm between three goalkeepers, which is probably going to be Raya, Mendy and Sanchez. I'm a bit reluctant to move on Mendy. I think he's quite tempting at 5 million. Obviously, taps you into that Chelsea back line. I do think there's options at Chelsea, though. You know, if Sterling moves, there's Mount there as well. You've got, you know, the two fullbacks. You've got, you know, maybe Havertz as well. I think there's enough players for me not to want to lock into a Chelsea goalkeeper. But you can't deny that, you know, a Chelsea goalkeeper is going to offer good value at 5 million. Some of the more worrying signs for Mendy, though, is that he doesn't make many saves. Two-ish per 90, so he's not hitting those kind of, you know, three saves to get more points. His minutes per baseline bonus is 7.6, which is the highest of all these players, in a bad way, so it takes him longer to reach the kind of threshold to get to the bonus. And if you look at his XG prevented, I mean, they conceded 2.5 more goals based on this metric than they should have done, so he was letting in kind of sloppy chances. If you compare that to Raya, for example, Raya's making over three saves per 90, which is exactly what you want to see. If you're getting three saves a game and it's boosting him up to 3 points, and you know, then they're getting maybe a clean sheet as well and some bonus on top of that, that's everything I like to see. A good minutes per baseline bonus of 5.4, XG prevented of 0.7, which isn't amazing, but you know, ideally you want your goalkeeper to be saving more and then they let in, but it's quite tricky and there aren't many keepers out there that are actually doing that. Sanchez is the other one I'm looking at. He's the most boring pick, I think, out of all these. We do concede kind of the odd goal. His XG prevented is about where, you know, it should be, minus 0.3. Doesn't hit those free saves per 90, though. Minutes per baseline bonus of 6, which is just marginally worse than Raya. So, again, I think it's quite close between both of these players at 4.5. I think both teams should have good seasons. I just like that Raya makes slightly more saves as well, and I'm expecting them to be a little bit more solid. So I don't think you can go wrong with either of them, but I'm leaning towards Raya. The other player I put in here is Henderson at Notts Forest. I think, you know, promoted keepers. I do like a promoted keeper. When they come up, they tend to make loads of saves. When they do keep a clean sheet, they often, you know, only win by one goal or something like that, or a nil-nil, and the keepers have made loads of saves and fly. So again, at 4.5, you know, I think Henderson has shown with Sheffield United what a good pick he was. I just think, if you could have him, or you could have a more established goalkeeper like Sanchez, who's been in the league for quite a few seasons now, with Brighton, or with Raya, who's had a season and obviously performed really strongly, I think it's harder to justify going for Henderson, but he could be a bit of a left field option to consider. The problem is Nottingham Forest fixtures aren't great. I mean, Newcastle first game, West Ham, Everton's okay, but then Spurs and City sort of in the first five. So if you compare that to, you know, both Brentford and Brighton, I think it's going to be one of the other two that we consider. So looking at defenders next then, I've changed up kind of obviously the stats that we're talking about. I've gone for the attacking stats, chances created per 90, shots per 90, and then expecting goal involvement, non-penalty per 90 as well. There's not clean sheets from last season here, purely looking at these kind of attacking metrics. There's a few reasons for that. I mean, the main reason for me is that defenders at the moment, the value, the slots are so sort of important for us given the value that we've got in defence. You want to be getting in defenders who can, you know, even if they concede a goal, lose that clean sheet, someone that can get you attacking returns too. Or you've got to be looking at players who've got kind of really good fixtures who you're comfortable in getting, you know, some defensive points through. I think a good example is Palace, for example. I mean, we're not really considering Palace assets in our team. They've got a really good underlying stats defensively, the good solid side against Vieira. Okay, the fixtures are quite tricky, but even if they were better, I still think it would be difficult to justify going for one of those when we've got such good attacking options kind of elsewhere. So some of the players that I've kind of highlighted here, I put Ait Nouri in, for example. His underlying stats aren't great, actually, from an attacking sense. Next year, non-penalty of just 0.09, which is the worst of all the players on this list I'm talking about. I think Johnny could be an option on the other side as well. But I just think Ait Nouri's place is a bit more secure in that team. Ait Nouri's place in my team is someone who I'm a little bit uncertain about because I want those attacking ability. It's just those first two games are so good for Wolves. And then, he rotates so well with Tomiyasu. So that's the reason why he's in. I also like the look of Ricardo Pereira at 4.5. I think Leicester really struggled last season. They've got no Europe next year. They're going to have to sort out those kind of defensive vulnerabilities. You've got James Justin as a good option at 4.5, and Ricardo as well on the right-hand side. You know, Brazilian international, he was 6 million a few seasons ago, come down so much in price. Those Leicester defenders are going to be really, really good options for us. Cash is an interesting one. So I was talking about Cash's value last season of his kind of 140, 150 points for 5 million. It'd be a great return if he managed to get that again. The underlying stats don't paint the picture that's going to happen, though. A shots per 90 of 0.99, that's okay. It's pretty decent. That's in keeping. It's a lot better than kind of a lot of other sort of defenders around that price. It's not to the levels of like a Cancelo or a Trent, but it's decent. Chance created every 0.74, so less than one chance created a game, but an expected goal involvement non-penalty of just 0.15, which is lower than Ricardo, for example, and it's the lowest kind of on this list. The second lowest after Aitnori. So in terms of if he's going to get those attacking returns, get backed up to 150 points, it looks a little bit unlikely. But, Villa have strengthened defensively, signed a good new defender, and they were a good defensive side until it kind of fell away a little bit last season. So he's one to monitor. Dean as well gives you that other option. There's quite a few players here where there's a kind of a decent option in the same team as a kind of counterpart, which brings me nicely onto Chilwell and Reece James. Two players I'm looking at. I'd love to own both of them. It might be a little bit difficult to have Chilwell, James and Sterling as well. We're not sure how Chelsea are going to be defensively with Rudiger leaving. There's rumours that certain players kind of De Ligt's going to come in. Could James drop back to centre-back? I'm going to switch to forward-back. All of these are questions that we won't really know until pre-season starts and maybe the season begins. So I think it might be a little bit too risky to start with both of them, which is why I'm leaning towards James. He's expected a goal of a non-penalty over 90 minutes. He's 0.4, which is the second best in the league. Second best only to Trent, who's just on a different level when it comes to his underlying numbers. He's creating over two chances a game, having nearly two shots a game, which is worse than Chilwell, but it's still pretty decent. Also, he has a bigger sample size than Chilwell as well. James missed sort of 12 games last year. Chilwell missed a lot more than that, 30 games he missed last season. So, it's good to have those numbers from James to show that he can consistently kind of keep putting in these numbers. Then some of the more premium defenders to consider. Obviously, I'm considering Robertson as well. I think the main thing for me, just to kind of make people aware of, though, is if we're looking at purely underlying numbers of Robertson and Trent, Trent's expected goal at non-penalty of 0.5 is almost double Robertson's of 0.26. So when it comes to things like shooting, Trent has more shots a game. He creates more chances every game. They're better quality chances and shots as well than Robertson has. Not saying Robertson's a bad pick, still a good option at 7. But I do think if you're trying to save money, losing Alexander-Arnold just isn't the way in which I would want to play it, even if it was for someone like Robertson. Robertson could be someone to pair alongside him and Salah. Not someone that I'd want to have instead, but still a great option. And then finally, Cancelo. Now, Cancelo's shots are just absolutely crazy. Best in the league of all defenders. He has 2.26 shots on average, over two shots a game. And on average, he manages to create over a chance a game as well. But next year, non-penalty of 0.33, which is actually pretty decent. It's in line with quite a few midfielders as well. And for just 7 million, he gets the clean sheets too. You can't neglect those, even though we're looking at the defensive attacking numbers for the defenders. With the clean sheets as well, he's surely on course for another 200-point season next year. Again, depending whether fullbacks come in, like Cucurella. But yeah, Cancelo, absolute lock in my side. Just highlighted two other players here. I mean, Williams as well, we talked about him, 4 million. Could kind of change things up a bit, I think, if he comes in. Or if another 4 million option, I'm not saying it has to be him. He's just someone that we think we're very likely going to get in our teams. And Perisic there as well, 5.5 million. I mean, he has a crazy amount of shots every game. There's a big concern with him, though, over how many minutes he's going to play next season. He's got Reguil on there, he's got Szczęsny on there, and lots of other players. So he, again, I think is a bit of a wait and see for me. But if he's going to be kind of consistently getting 60 minutes or 60 plus minutes, I think he's going to be someone as well that we're going to be looking to get. I mean, for 5.5 million, when you compare that to the forwards and the midfielders, again, that could be one of the value picks of the year. So definitely not someone that I'm discounting. Be interesting to see how he gets on pre-season and someone that I could well end up with in my game at one side. So now we can move over to midfield. Loads of options here for us to consider in midfield. I've started with Neto, who's someone who's obviously really popular. I mentioned him earlier. I mean, chances created per 90 of 2.31 is really high. Obviously, we haven't got a huge sample size from him, but that's better than the likes of Saka, for example. It's better than Son. It's better than Salah. It's right up there. And in terms of shots per 90 as well, I mean, 3.05, you've got someone like Diaz on this list and Salah. But that's beating the likes of other players I've got here, Madison, Saka, Grealish, Rashford, Son as well. So, yeah, I think, again, we're gonna see really heavy investment in Neto. XGI non-penalty of 0.57, really, really high as well. So, yeah, better than Saka, who's that kind of benchmark around the 8 million. And you're getting that for 5.5. That's why so many people are sort of clamouring to get him in. Got Kamara Sean there as well. The underlying stats aren't really amazing for him. You've got sort of a chance created, one chance created, sort of two shots a game. Again, there's some question marks about the kind of role he's going to play for Newcastle. So we kind of see how that has to fit in. I like Rashford at 6'5". I think he could be a great option for us. He had a poor season last year. Underlying stats are pretty terrible for a player of his standard, 0.38 XGI non-penalty. Barely creating chances. United really struggling to create chances. Only Fernandes seems capable of doing it. Obviously, they've lost Pogba now as well. But could we see Rashford lining up front for United next season? Definitely one to monitor. He's going to be playing out of position. He's almost certainly in my team. Some other players that I'm looking at but haven't got in my draft at the moment. I like Grealish. I think if Sterling goes, we might see Grealish sort of coming back into the thinking. Grealish's numbers are actually decent when he does play. He's got a better XGI non-penalty than Maddison, for example, 0.49 compared to 0.46. He's creating 2.5 chances a match, so heading up towards three chances a game. Having shots, two shots a game as well. Be interesting to see, you know, this £100 million signing, where he fits into Pep's plans next year. Someone to monitor, I think, particularly over pre-season. I've got Maddison, Saka and Diaz as the kind of £8 million options of choice. Looking at the underlying stats, it's Diaz that comes out on top, 0.55, but looking at sort of points, even from the period in which Diaz was signed for Liverpool, you know, from January, it was Maddison and Saka that massively outscored him, Maddison in particular. The underlying stats, though, do suggest a little bit of a regression is inevitable for Maddison. I mean, he got 180 points last season. I do wonder if he can really hit those highs again. But again, Leicester haven't got Europe as well. They should be a better side, and maybe he can kick on and sort of approach that 200-point mark, which would be absolutely amazing for him. But my gut feeling, as much as I love the man, is that he's might be more like 150, 160 points. And I think he probably needs a bit more than that to justify the kind of 8 million. Tough fixture as well for Leicester to start with. Someone that I'll be looking at closely, but probably won't be going with at the start of the season. Sterling, just to paint a picture of how good Sterling's numbers are. His XGI non-penalty is actually better than Son's, for example, 0.69 compared to 0.64. He has the highest shots per 90 of kind of the players, you know, in which have played a lot of minutes. So that's ignoring Neto, second only to Salah, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Salah's having, you know, 4.5 shots a match. Sterling's 2.62 is high, but not as high as that. I love Sterling. I think he's someone who is going to have that real point to prove for Chelsea if he does sign. So really interesting to see what kind of happens with that. Son as well. Son is someone that I am considering. He's probably not going to end in my side just because of his price. But it's hard to ignore, you know, one of the highest point scorers last season, someone who's got Southampton at home in the first game, playing at that tip of the, you know, the attacking sort of double up with Kane as well, from sort of dropping further forward than Kane is too. Really hard to fit in though. And the stats, the underlying stats, you know, when you see them, they are really strong and really superior. Kane's are actually better, as we're going to talk about in a minute. I'm expecting Son, you know, to come in with another big season next year. So definitely will be a factor for us. With Salah and Haaland there, it's really tricky to kind of, you know, find the place for him. And then finally, I've added Salah. I mean, Salah's an absolute given. You can just look at his numbers. I mean, chance created of two chances, you know, is right up there with some of the best in the league. Shots, as I mentioned, is just absolutely ridiculous. An XGI non-penalty of 90, just to give that kind of benchmark. That's the highest in the league, 0.85. Before the kind of AFCON, that was well over one, so you're expected to get something quite comfortably from Salah kind of every match. It has dropped and has dipped a bit, but 0.85 is the kind of benchmark of the best FPL player in the league. So when you look at Sterling at 0.69, you look at Son at 0.64, you know, even players like Diaz at 0.55, you think, mate, you know, these are players, the underlying stats suggest they're in for big seasons. Definitely people that we should be monitoring. I think anyone over 0.6 for expected goal involvement on penalty over 90 is definitely someone that you should be considering in your sides. So now we move over to forwards. I've got Tony Wilson, Jesus, Kane, Undav and Haaland in as the players that I'm considering. Tony at the top of the list because of his cheapest price. Again, I think it's those penalties that really kind of do boost his appeal. His expected goal involvement non-penalty, I think, is quite disappointing for someone who's kind of spearheading that attack for Brentford. I think that improved as well quite considerably when Eriksen came in too. So he's going to need to kind of be in more goal scoring opportunities and positions, better ones next year.
But I think the fixtures allow for us to kind of take that risk with him. Wilson's a really interesting one. I mean, I was surprised to see Wilson's XGI non-penalty at 0.34. It's quite low. He doesn't have that kind of chance-created stuff. His minutes per shot is higher, 2.26, and a lot of those shots come from the box. They are, you know, good shots, but he's not having too many of them for someone who's, you know, registering such a low kind of XGI. Non-pen, not for us at home though in that first game. We just know the other signings that Newcastle make and see. Definitely someone that I've got my eye on as well. He's a little bit more expensive than Tony though, which kind of dents his appeal a little bit. Now, Jesus is a really interesting one. I mean, Jesus's underlying numbers have always historically been really good for Man City. And again, Arsenal have had, you know, create loads of chances and don't have that person to convert them. Jesus isn't an elite clinical finisher. He has three shots a game, which is, you know, kind of on line with Kane at 3.7. He has, you know, he creates chances, 1.8. He was playing on the wing and dropping in and creating chances. Very all-action kind of forward. And next year, non-penalty of 0.64 is really, really high. The issue with him is that can he actually be that kind of converter and really finish these chances for Arsenal? I think 8 million is a brilliant price for him, though. If I don't go for Sterling, and I can find a way of making a kind of, you know, drop him down to an 8 million. I could maybe boost Tony up to an 8 million Jesus as well. That gives me a little bit more money to play with. That could be an option that I'm thinking of as well. And I think, you know, we're going to see some interest in Jesus, particularly from game week 3 when the fixtures are really nice. I've got Kane in there too. We talked about the kind of moving from Kane to Haaland. It's not something that I think I'm going to be doing at the start of this season. But again, if I do think there's some risks around Haaland's minutes in that game week one, I probably will be starting with Kane. And again, I think, you know, I said earlier that you'd have to kind of captain him if you're thinking of moving that switch. But I think if Haaland's not ready for game week one, there could actually be a bit of a prolonged period of time in which it takes him to adjust to the league. And in which case, you don't need to move from Kane to Haaland kind of straight away. And if you're keeping him for longer, there's less kind of onus on you to captain him in that game one fixture. So that's my disclaimer. If I do end up with Kane and not Haaland and don't captain him, it will only be because I'm planning on keeping him for longer than game week one. I've got Haaland in here. I won't talk too much about him. There's a video on the Scout channel about his prospects going forward. Another bench player I mentioned again is Undav. You know, over 20 goals in the Belgian League, player of the season, gets assists as well. I'm going to keep saying it. He's going to be he's going to be first choice striker for us next season. It's just how long will it be until he gets into that. So he's one to monitor for me. If I do see good signs from him, then I will be very likely to start the season with him. I think he's a great option at 5.5. So that's my team. Just come back to it quickly. Hopefully that's been helpful. If you have enjoyed this video, do give us a like. Do give us a subscribe on the channel as well. If you're listening on the podcast version, do give us a review. Be really interested to know your feedback on all of these. We've got new graphics coming next week. Really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to getting all your feedback with those. But once again, thanks for watching and I will see you soon.